Hi, my name is Barry Manandi, and you're listening to the ZFM Sport Podcast.
Z.
It's Messi! It is the cleanest of clean finishes from the best on the planet.
It's time for the biggest sports stories.
Chelsea, the UEFA Champions League winners of 2021.
The biggest interviews.
That such a great spectacle is ruined by such thuggish behaviour.
And all the analysis right here.
He's the one player that has the arrogance to think that he can play in any stadium in the world and any pitch in the world in front of any player in the world and take them on.
Every weekday, it's my sport, it's your sport. It's ZFM Sport. Let's join the team for the biggest show in the world of sport on ZFM Stereo. My station, your station.
ZFM Sport on a Wednesday. Good evening, Zimbabwe. Welcome to it. It's a wacky Wednesday, but nothing wacky about the stories that we are carrying this evening. On the home front, the Zimbabwe netball team have been afforded a perfect platform to assess their arsenal ahead of next year's World Cup, as they have been invited to take part in the Diamond Challenge in Durban next month. Chris, this is apt, eh, for a team that has nicknamed the Gems.
Perfect tournament. Perfect branding opportunity.
Absolutely. And in our Power Profile, proudly brought to you by Cardinal Properties, we feature arguably the greatest basketball player of all time, Michael Jordan. We'll also take you around the world in 60 with updates from England, India and the United States. And all this in the company of Barry Manandi, Alois Mujira, Chris Midzi, Mike Madoda and our producer Sean Tafirinyika.
In a beautiful game, which is the second half of the show, we'll camp out in the UEFA Champions League, where Barcelona boss Xavi Hernandez could not hide his frustration as he fumed at the refereeing decisions in their 1-0 loss to Inter Milan last night. I think handling in the box is now permitted, certainly in Italy. Liverpool manager Jurgen Klopp praised his team for riding out recent criticism of their dip in form.
Deep.
It was a deep one, though.
It was deep, thank you, Michael. You're a true friend, Michael. Good save. Recent criticism of their dip in form to register a comfortable win over Rangers. And in tonight's action, after two matches without a win, Chelsea fans will hope that the third time is the charm as they welcome AC Milan to Stamford Bridge for their Group E showdown.
How is it, guys? Elvis Tibola Okomba Moyo, WPF.
This is The Bomb.
All Africa Heavyweight Champion two-time. You are listening to ZFM Sports.
This guy also, Chris, to be Zita, by now, you're still dithering. You haven't mentioned your name.
It's done.
Anyway,
strike the iron.
Those of you who are quick on the trigger, 0731-168-045. That's our WhatsApp platform.
Hello, Chris.
With name. Hello, Chris Taku. Hello, Chris.
Yeah, she has got to pick one.
We also on Twitter and Facebook at ZFM Sport. The WhatsApp number again, 0731-168-045. We did mention World Teachers Day today. The world all over celebrating teachers. And we want to find out from you, who are some of your favorite teachers? Okay, just give us one favorite teacher that you had or you have, okay? So if you finished school a long time ago, just tell us, who was your favorite teacher? What grade? What form? What level of university of your tertiary education? We just want to know, who was your favorite teacher? Send us on a WhatsApp, and we'll be reading those throughout the fan zone. Today is Wacky Wednesday after all. Now, before we get into the sport, that is our feature, the netball team, let's give you a local sports news roundup.
The home front. Local sports news and analysis.
Starting with some boxing news, the government has stepped in to rescue Kudakwashe Tekmani Chiwandile's boxing World Boxing Council interim super bantamweight title defense against challenger Zulina Munoz of Mexico. The bout had initially been scheduled for last Saturday at the Harare International Conference Center, but it had been in doubt after promoters Delta Force Academy failed to put resources together. A joint statement will be issued soon to confirm the date of the fight. Alois, this is good news. I think the government was listening to ZFM Sport.
Yeah, that's a good thing, good gesture that they did, because honestly, we were worried about it. Even the team was worried about it, but you can actually see that there is some excitement in the team as she started training extensively now, and it's sure she is sure now that the bout is on, mm-hmm. and they are now preparing in it. But for the world of Zimbabwe, we are grateful because this is a fight that is, I think, it's the biggest fight in Zimbabwean football history.
Head over to some cricket news. Zimbabwe bowling coach Steve Kirby has officially assumed his role with the Chevrons. Kirby attended yesterday's fine-tuning session, where he was formally introduced to the players as the team prepares for the ICC T20 World Cup that starts in Australia next week. Kirby, a former first-class cricketer, had until his latest appointment been serving as bowling coach at Somerset, one of the sides that he played for during his long and successful county career in England. Finish off with some football news. Barberfield Stadium will host the final of the Chibuku Super Cup, while Mandava Stadium will be the venue for the two semi-finals. The semi-finals of the Chibuku Super Cup will take place next weekend, and the final on the 19th of November. Black Rhinos, Bulawayo Chiefs, Herentals and FC Platinum are the four teams still in with a chance of winning the Chibuku Super Cup.
The Warriors, the Chevrons, the Cheetahs, the Mighty Warriors and the Sables. From the pool to the track to the field, we are Team Zimbabwe.
Already the messages are starting to come in. Of course, I'm just reading names of teachers there. But just do try and tell us why they are your favorite teacher. I see a lot of people are responding with explanations. But I just seen one day I would say my favorite teacher was Mrs. Sango. Full stop. Okay, tell us why Mrs. Sango was your favorite teacher. Now, let's get into the sports news. And perhaps we can teach you a bit about netball. The Zimbabwe netball team, the Germs, have been afforded a perfect platform to assess their arsenal ahead of the Netball World Cup in South Africa next year. The Ropafazo Mtsauki coached girls have been invited for the annual Diamond Challenge Cup by Netball South Africa to take place in Durban next month. A high-profile invitational tournament is making a return after a two-year hiatus due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Now, Gems coach Ropafazo Mtsauki says he is happy his team will be taking part in the competition.
To me as a coach, it's very, very important because the team, you know, for now, they're intact, and it gives them the confidence. What is so important, that exposure, to one from international game. So, on my side, I think I'm very, very happy with that, and this diamond other players the chance to divide was approved because I was still a number of Africa qualifiers which I end up to diamond challenge. But the good team is that more competition to the team and the of other players the chance to was approved. Approach to the opening.
That, of course, was Ropafazo Mtsauki speaking about the Diamond Challenger Cup, which, of course, will be played in Durban. Chris, I think it's very important that as we head towards a World Cup, that the Zimbabwe netball team gets ample time to prepare, but also gets quality opposition, yes, just to test themselves.
And that's what's absolutely key about the Diamond Challenge, is that these are teams that are high-ranked teams. You've got teams participating, including Scotland and Malawi, who I think we've had some battles with previously. And so if you're sharpening yourself against the best already in preparation for a World Cup, then I think, first of all, it's very good for the players from the from the perspective of exposure, but also I think in order to sharpen their game, I think this is a really, really great opportunity for them. And I'm glad the coach is thinking of it in the same vein as well, that this is something that needs to be taken seriously.
Barry, over the last few months, we've I think spoken glowingly about the progress being made at Zimbabwe Cricket, both on and off the park, as it were. And we're beginning to see the same strides being taken by Zimbabwe netball. They're getting a lot right on the court,
yep,
with the team performing and qualifying for the World Cup. But also, if you drive around Harare as well, I mean, you see these billboards that are sprouting up, you know, where corporates are coming in and supporting the netball team. And it's good to see, especially as they head to the World Cup. I mean, no doubt some of these young ladies see themselves, see those images, and it can only encourage them.
It can only encourage them. And then also what it does is spreads the game to the grassroots, even if the Netball Association isn't actively going into schools or whatever. When school children or school girls are looking at those billboards, looking, yep, at those girls playing for the national team, they aspire for the same. And then for this Diamond Challenge Cup, we understand that the Netball Association confirmed yesterday that they've already received sponsorship from UK-based Zimbabwean-owned consultancy ReSports. So now the sponsorship is coming from various quarters. Yeah, this is a Zimbabwean-owned consultancy, but it's based in the UK, meaning that that opens up a whole new market for the netball team. So great things happening with the Gems. I'd like to see that pyramid begin to expand downwards and see clubs, see the schools doing a little bit more with netball.
I was going to bring in Alois on that point, Perry, that you've introduced, to say that, you know what, it's really mustard end, Alois, with the national team, similar to the discussion we had here last night, you know, and you made the point that football isn't the Warriors. And you've got to say that similarly in netball, netball isn't all about the Gems. I mean, we've got to take a look at cascading down all the benefits that have been accrued at the very top of the triangle to the base, so that we get more numbers into the sport and we sustain this over generations.
Yeah, exactly, Mike. When you see the success that these girls are bringing to the country, not just for themselves, but for the whole nation, and like Perry said as well, that, you know, when it cascades down, it actually makes it very very competitive. It actually gives us a chance to actually develop more younger players, more players to actually fight for the position at senior level. Unlike when we just think about the Gems as the Gems, we just look at this at the senior team only. We don't have those other ones that are coming up. Now with this kind of sponsorship, with these billboards coming up, it inspires all these young people, or even the teachers in the schools. Now they can have something to talk about to the girls. Look, you can also be like Perpetua, you can also be like, so that they can actually themselves, they get inspired to start coaching their children, so that they can aspire to be like that as well. I'm very excited about the Gems, and I'm also excited about the tournament in South Africa. It brings them a little bit of moolah as well.
Yeah.
When they invite those people, they get paid really well.
They get
when
paid.
They go down there.
They get taken care,
yeah,
of. And of course, the games are scheduled to run from November 19th through to the 26th. And Zimbabwe last participated in the meet in the year 2018 and emerged third behind winners South Africa and Zambia. Chris did point out that there will be sterner tests this time. Apart from the hosts, there will be Scotland as well as Malawi. And so our girls are going to get a proper workout at that tournament. And of course, the camp will start in Harare in the next 2 weeks as they prepare for that tournament over in Durban. This is EFM Sport on a Wednesday, Wacky or Wednesday. Get in touch with us with your thoughts on the netball and the different stories that we are carrying out of the world of sport. We appreciate your predictions too for the Champions League games that are going to be played later on tonight. 0731 168 045 is the number. But we are also asking us to send us your favorite teachers, okay, from your time at school. And if you're still at school, we want to know who your favorite teacher is and why, as today we honor and celebrate our teachers, today being World Teachers Day. Quick break, and when we come back, we'll be giving you, of course, our power profile, and we talk about not what Sean said, which is arguably the greatest basketball player of all time. We declare definitively he is the greatest athlete of all time, Michael Jordan.
From the front of the grid to the back of the net, it's ZFM Sport. Ah, Our Profile on ZFM Sport. The great stories of great athletes in the great events in the world of sport. Our Profile is brought to you by Cardinal Properties, Zimbabwe's most trusted property developer.
Now, before we get to Michael Jordan, let's tell you a bit about Cardinal Properties, Zimbabwe's most trusted property developer for over 10 years, constructing residential, commercial, and light industrial properties in the throes of transforming Rua with Silverbrook Estate. If you haven't visited this fantastic development, do yourself a favor and head out there tomorrow and have a look for yourself. Our site office will be on hand to assist you.
Silverbrook Estate is an upmarket, low-density estate in Rua. This brand new estate is certainly what it promises, effortless living in Rua. We have 300 stands available, ranging from 750 square meters to 1,500 square meters in size, with the average stand sitting at 1,000 square meters.
Now located 20 kilometers from Harare CBD, this upmarket, low-density estate delivers all the amenities you would want in an easy urban setting: a shopping center, schools, recreational areas, and the serenity of being away from the city's hustle and bustle. We'll be talking more about Silverbrook Estate straight after our feature of Michael Jordan.
As we start, I want to definitively declare that there is no debate.
None. I agree with
by
you,
by acclamation, Michael Jordan, MJ, is the greatest basketball player of all time. Although a summary of his basketball career and influence on the game inevitably fails to do it justice. As a phenomenal athlete with a unique combination of fundamental soundness, grace, speed, power, artistry, improvisational ability, and an unquenchable competitive desire, I took that personally. Jordan single-handedly redefined the NBA superstar.
Now, Michael Jordan, whose full name is Michael Jeffrey Jordan, was born on the 17th of February in 1963 in Brooklyn, New York. He was one of James and Dolores Jordan's five children. The family moved to Wilmington, North Carolina when Michael was very young. His father worked as a General Electric plant supervisor, and his mother worked at a bank. His father taught him to work hard and not be tempted by street life. His mother taught him to sew, clean, and do laundry. So yes, he really can still do those things. Jordan loves sports, and after high school, he accepted a basketball scholarship to the University of North Carolina, where he played under head coach Dean Smith.
In Jordan's first season at North Carolina, he was named Atlantic Coast Conference ACC Rookie of the Year. That was in 1982. The team won the ACC championship, and Jordan made the clutch jump shot that beat Georgetown University for the championship of the National Collegiate Athletic Association, NCAA. He left North Carolina after his junior year and was selected by the Chicago Bulls of the National Basketball Association, the NBA, as the third pick of the 1984 draft.
Now, when Jordan was drafted by the Bulls, they were a losing team, drawing only around 6,000 fans to home games. Jordan quickly turned that around. His style of play and fierce spirit of competition reminded sports writers and fans of Julius Irving, who had been a superstar player during the 1970s. Jordan's incredible leaping ability and hang time thrilled fans in arenas around the league. In his first season, he was named to the All-Star team and was later honored as the league's Rookie of the Year.
Jordan enjoyed personal success, but Chicago did not advance beyond the first round of the playoffs until 1988. By adding players such as Scottie Pippen, Bill Cartwright, Horace Grant, John Paxson, around Jordan, the Bulls management created a strong team that won the 1991 NBA title by defeating the Los Angeles Lakers. The next year, the Bulls repeated as NBA champs by defeating the Portland Trail Blazers. In 1992, Jordan also played on the Dream Team, which participated in the Summer Olympic Games in Barcelona.
And as you can tell, this is a very storied career, because in 1993, after a tough playoff series with the New York Knicks, the Bulls met the Phoenix Suns for the NBA championship. When it was over, Jordan was again playoff MVP, and Chicago had won a third straight title. dynasty. That summer, Jordan's father, James, was murdered by two men during a robbery attempt. Jordan was grief-stricken, and his father's death, combined with media reports about his gambling, led him to announce his retirement from professional basketball in October.
When Jordan returned to the Chicago Bulls during the 1994-95 regular season, people wondered, could he do it again? The answer was emphatic. The 95-96 Bulls finished the regular season 72-10, an NBA record at the time, which was broken by Steph Curry and the Warriors for most wins in the season. And Jordan, with his shooting rhythm back, earned his 8th scoring title. The Bulls also went on to three-peat again as NBA champions. Jordan retired for a second time in 1999, ending his career on a high note just after the official end of a labor dispute between NBA players and team owners.
Are you tired of renting? Fed up with having your house security tied to your landlord? Isn't it time you owned? If any of your answers are yes, look no further than Silverbrook Estate. Zimbabwe's premier property developer, Cardinal Properties, makes ownership and personal financial growth possible with this new, exciting, low-density stands project, now available on payment terms. Visit our website, silverbrookestate.co.zw, or call us on 072-200-135. Get on the property ladder today at Silverbrook Estate. Effortless living in Rua.
Now, house design is everything. We live in the Instagram era, and you want your house Instagrammable. We're proud that model plans at Silverbrook Estate are available, and the team at Cardinal Properties is able to take you through the plans available depending on your choice and size of stand from a range of high-quality modern architects. Building your dream home from your own plans is also possible if you choose.
But that's not all. That's my promotional voice. But that's not all. Property values in the area are set for a major uplift with a retail center planned for 2023. It'll have 38 stores, including key anchor retail stores with some of the biggest brands in Zimbabwe. With work already having commenced on high quality infrastructure and roads, this development offers a good return on investment and is expected to give good capital growth over time. So whether you're a first time owner or you're looking for an investment, this project is the answer for you.
Now, the greatest part of this awesome investment is the price. The average price of a stand is just $39,000, and there are payment terms available over 12 months, with mortgages over 5 years also available through bank arrangements. Title deeds are available for all stands, so what are you waiting for? Call Josh Silcock on 0772-200-135. Josh Silcock's number again, 0772-200-135. Alternatively, you can visit our websites, cardinalproperties.co.zw. That's cardinalproperties.co.zw or silverbrookestate.co.zw. You'll also find Josh's contact number on the website. Start your journey to effortless living in Rua at Silverbrook Estate. Another great development from Cardinal Properties.
Power Profile on ZFM Sport. The great stories of great athletes in the great events in the world of sport. Power Profile is brought to you by Cardinal Properties, Zimbabwe's most trusted property developer.
Hi, my name's Ryan Cairns, Sunshine Tour professional golfer, and you're listening to ZFM Sport.
Around the world in 60 seconds. International sports news.
We take off in England, where boxing promoter Bob Arum says Eddie Hearn sabotaged a prospective all-British heavyweight clash between Anthony Joshua and Tyson Fury, accusing the matchroom promoter of slow-playing negotiations and being opposed to the fight since the beginning. On Monday, Hearn admitted negotiations had broken down and that while being open to further discussions, the fight was off. Hearn had suggested that Arum was pouring water onto the potential fight, voicing doubts over its materializing. This is just banter. The fight is going to happen. Let's head over to India, where Riley Russo believes his spectacular return to form in last night's victory over India in the third T20 is a perfect illustration of why the Proteas need to stick with struggling skipper Themba Bavuma. The dashing left-hander, just as his captain, gone into the match on the back of consecutive ducks before spearheading the 49-run win with a magnificent unbeaten 100 off just 48 deliveries. Admitting it was Quinton de Kock's initial aggression that gave him the confidence, Russo argues support from informed teammates would allow Bavuma to the relative freedom to regain his mojo. And we'll touch down in the United States, where American captain Zach Johnson said Tiger Woods will be involved in the United States Ryder Cup team in some capacity for the 2023 edition in Rome. Woods has played in three majors this year following a February 2021 car crash that nearly cost him his right leg. Woods has played at eight Ryder Cups and was vice captain in 2016.
Fan Zone. Get in touch with the team and have your say your way.
Operator.
Lots of messages that have come through. We did ask the question, not sports, but who your favorite teacher is or was as we celebrate teachers on today, World Teachers Day. The messages have come through. Barry, who was your favorite teacher?
Chris has
told us already.
Shucks, unfortunately, it's not a fun story.
You said Mr. Mapia.
Mr. Mapaya.
Any relation to Chingatai Mapaya?
I think it's Chingatai. He's Chingatai's dad, actually.
Yeah, so my favorite teacher was a lady called Mrs. Mudzongo, our Form 2 Shona teacher.
Not the French teacher you told me about.
Yeah, there's a French teacher.
Yes, Mr. Theodosia. But that was the humanity in me, the blood rushing. Mrs. Mudzongo, I'll never forget anyone who's there for me in very, very tough times. She's there for me in a very, very tough time.
Uh-huh.
And if I can find her, I would like to thank her properly.
She was phenomenal. Okay, we shan't assume meaning to what that means. your favorite teacher?
To be honest, in high school it was just in and out of the classroom, so I never paid attention to a lot of teachers.
Wow,
you our primary school then. In primary school, yes, my grade 6 and grade 7, he taught us from grade 6 to grade 7. That teacher was brilliant for me. He actually made mathematics exciting. People didn't really like math, but he changed everything, and the math subject became the favorite subject in school.
You looked forward to math?
Yes, the way he did it and the way he was cancelling these errors.
Explaining
he was very active.
Armstrong, Pamela Borain, good evening. You say my favorite teacher was Mr. Temeria, Form 3 and 4 English teacher and headmaster also at Morera Secondary. This is the year 2005-2006. So we are celebrating him. And mine is Mr. Gambiza. He taught me at Thomason Depot Primary, encouraged me to read widely. I'm so grateful for that. Though I eventually did telecommunications, he always wanted me to do something arts related. Tawanda in Kuwazana. More messages here. Andy Wacky Wins. I like the hashtag there. That's well played. That's Gail out in blue.
That'll get your message read one time.
That'll get your message read one time. As the evening team, my best teacher, he was Anzi, my best teacher was Mrs. K. Anzi Kutazaushe. She was my Ndebele teacher. I really envied her beauty. always saying, when I get older, I would love to look like her. And this is Gail. And Gail. I'm just taking a look at Gail's profile pic here. Let me just. You're not too bad yourself, Gail.
That's why maybe she had believed that she can actually be like that teacher when she grows up, because she had believed in herself.
All right, my favorite teacher, Mrs. Sango, she makes math sound easier, and I see an A coming my way. So this is someone who's actually in school. Thank you for sending us that message. You didn't tell us your name. This one, Anze, my favorite teacher was Mrs. Matsikira. And that lady used to hate me. at secondary, it was Sir Tsoka, because he used to chase us in the corridor. How do they become your favorite teachers, though?
Exactly.
I think it's the memories. Oh my gosh, reminded me of Sister Igna. Any convent girl will tell you about Sister Igna. Of all the posts on our Facebook page, message on the Convent Girls Girls page. The one that got the most traction was talking about Sister Igna, who made our lives a living hell. Everybody's memory.
And I think kids who went to St. John's Emerald Hill, there was also a Sister Elizabeth.
Oh, yeah.
Because Nagambo Nyenga Ikoko.
She
wouldn't allow me in the gates. Elizabeth, from like 98, 99. You know, I was fresh out of school and I thought, listen, this school is around the corner from where I'm staying. You know, let me fish locally. Sister Elizabeth was having none of it.
If you had asked to tell us, to tell the teachers that gave us a lot of grief, it was going to be very exciting.
It was
going to
be exciting. Yes.
Oh my God.
Anzi Kudakwashe from Chikanga in Mutare. He says, Anzi, my favorite teacher was Mr. Chaka, my math teacher at St. Paul's Musambi from Form 1 to 4. These are the years 2010 to 2013. And Barry Falls, St. Paul's Musambi have got a legendary football team.
Yeah.
George Shire, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. And they won a championship.
First team to win the championship outside of Harare.
There we go. Musami, yeah. Just a few messages, guys. We can't read them all. Anzi, a very good evening, Team ZFM Sport. My favorite teacher was... my goodness. Okay, this one comes in description. This is not me. Yeah. Anzi, my favorite teacher... And to be honest, you really shouldn't have been thinking like this when you were at school. Hans was the curvilicious Miss Moyo.
Yes,
at St. John's Chikwakwa. Because of her, history was my favorite subject. She opened my eyes.
And a little bit more.
To be honest, there was one like that in primary school at our school.
In primary school, hello.
In primary school.
We left primary school and we went to high school. And we still kept talking about it.
Okay.
She's still teaching.
We'll read just a couple more here. Gilson Nyagato from Cheetown says, my best teacher was Mrs. Mtsene Nure, my integrated science teacher at Samatina Secondary School. So, Gilson, there's just one more, Barry, before you chime in. Favorite teachers are proving to be very popular. And Josie Gilbert Gurupira says, my favorite teacher was Mr. Mahachi, grade 5 to 7 at Chimoya Primary School. He showed me light and gave me confidence. Forever grateful. And we are paying tribute to teachers. I mean, they do such a wonderful job. Not only are they molding the character of our children, but they are also, I think, just shaping them for the future. And they do a wonderful job. And at ZFM Sport, we want to salute them.
We want to salute them indeed. And I would like to pay tribute and salute the Ministry of Education.
Oh, because when... I thought you had another teacher you wanted to thank.
When the Ministry of Education decided that those teachers that were graduating from teachers' colleges were going to now go to high schools, and they were received at Prince Edward's School, there were four computer teachers. Gentlemen, there was enrollment in the computer courses.
You remember the virus?
There were four, and there was one. I can't even remember their names. There was one who was, you know, when that dude said curvilicious. That's nothing. Nothing there.
There was one.
And then the computer lab was
pom pom. All the let's get to the footy, guys.
Your hit music station. My station. Your station. It's everybody's station. ZFM Stereo. The big leagues. The big teams. The big players. The beautiful game on ZFM Sport.
All right, last night's results in the Champions League. Groups A through D. Group A, Ajax pummeled by Napoli 6-1. Liverpool 2-0 winners over Rangers last night. And Group B, Club Brugge 2-0 winners over Atletico Madrid, while FC Porto prevailed 2-0 over Bayer Leverkusen. In Group C, Bayern Munich 5-0 winners against Victoria Pilsen, and Inter Milan edging Barcelona 1-0. Group D, Marseille 4-1 winners over Sporting Club of Portugal, and then Eintracht Frankfurt 0-0 draw with Tottenham. But It's a story around Inter Milan where Barcelona boss Xavi Hernandez could not hide his frustration as he fumed at the refereeing decisions in their 1-0 Champions League loss to Inter. Hakan Çalhanoğlu scored the only goal of the game in the first half stoppage time, but the match ended in controversy when Barca had an equaliser ruled out for handball before they were denied a late penalty when Denzel Dumfries appeared to handle the ball inside the area. Let's hear from the Barcelona manager Xavi Hernandez.
Home, si em preguntes, doncs, com estic, estic...
If you ask how I'm feeling, I'm offended.
I ens expliquen primer que si hi ha mà de l'Ansu, no?
If it was handball from Ansu Fati,
and
another teammate scored, it was a legal goal. When we saw it disallowed, and what happened with Dembélé, it's my opinion. I think the referee should be out here explaining why he made these decisions, if he made mistakes or not. That would humanize them a lot more. Today I'm really unhappy. You feel there's real injustice. This is football, we've got three more finals to come. It's the game that we've lost. Two games at home from our three games, and they're going to be real finals. We have to focus on more intensity. The first half wasn't good, we have to be self-critical, but of course we're offended today.
Alois, you've got to say that you understand Xavi Hernandez's frustration. I think the disallowed goal you can sort of understand, albeit that it wasn't Ansu Fati who scored the goal, albeit that he handled it, yeah, fine. But the denied penalty, I think that was a travesty and injustice, because Denzel Dumfries, short of catching the ball, that would be the only more severe way in which he could have handled it.
Yeah, that was terrible, Barry, especially when you know that they were denied a goal because of handball.
Yeah.
And then they got denied a handball. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought that was actually very unfair on Barcelona. I'm not sure what VAR is for. If you get to go and check, he didn't even have the referee to come and check.
Check at the screen.
He was supposed to call the referee to go and check. Especially when you see there's controversy, people are complaining. People are. You have to react. Yes, you have to react.
You know, I want to come in there, Barry, and say that I actually think that the biggest travesty was actually the goal disallowed. Because the laws are very clear.
Mm.
The laws state that if the ball accidentally hits the hand of the player preceding the play,
the goal scorer,
preceding the goal scorer, it should stand.
Yeah.
Those
because
are the laws.
He wasn't
of the
goal
game.
Scorer. Yeah.
So he wasn't the goal scorer. If it had been the goal scorer, then no matter what, whether it's a mistake or deliberate, it's a handball.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
But that ball mistakenly hit his hand. It wasn't a deliberate handball.
Yeah.
And he's not the one who scored.
Yeah.
So we are dealing here with a center referee that doesn't know the laws of the game. Mm. We're dealing, secondly, with a VAR official that doesn't know the laws of the game.
Yeah.
So that is the frustration. That's the law, Alois.
Initially, if you recall, in the first year of implementation, they said as long as it hits a hand, it'll be disallowed. Then they changed it. IFAB changed it the year after because of the Firmino incident, where Firmino handled the ball
by the halfway line.
A goal was scored and it was denied, albeit that it was in possibly two phases
before. Yeah, it was the phases. Yeah. That's where my point was.
So the laws have been changed.
Same phase that you handled, and it goes to your teammate and he scores. It's not allowed.
No, it's a goal.
It's disallowed.
So that's the same phase.
That even in the same phase, if it hits accidentally the hand of the player preceding the one who scores, it's a goal.
It's a goal. Yeah.
I would have to go check the law. Because if it gives you an advantage, if it gives your teammate an advantage to score because it hits your hand,
and even then it didn't give an advantage yesterday.
So let me read the law actually as it reads. The rule reads as follows: if the ball, after accidentally touching a player's hand or arm, is finished off by another teammate and scores a goal, it will be valid.
Yeah,
that's the law.
So. Yeah, if it doesn't give advantage.
No,
no,
can I read? Can I read?
Yeah, read
the
again.
Rule reads as follows: if the ball, after accidentally touching a player's hand or arm, is finished off by another teammate and scores a goal, it will be valid. End of.
Whether it gives an advantage
that's
or
law.
Not,
okay.
The law states that. So consequently, the goal should have stood, number one. Number two, the penalty should have been given to Barcelona. So Xavi Hernandez, absolutely well within his rights. And Barcelona has been unlucky in this campaign.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate that we have these kind of errors in the Champions League. It's a cup competition.
Yeah.
So you don't have a lot of opportunity as a team
to
recover. You get knocked out. It's plain and simple. And this is, I think we also forget the amount of money that's at stake when these teams are participating in the Champions League. So I think a lot needs to be looked into in terms of that particular referee, and there's something that needs to be done about VAR and the decision making that's taking place, especially in a cup competition.
The good thing, though, what he's done, Barry, is that he's set it up nicely. Is that for the game that will be played next week at the Camp Nou? Because Barcelona, that's a do or die. They lose that to Inter, they are almost out of the Champions League. So they have to win, and it just makes the group stages of the Champions League very interesting. We can understand why they feel, I mean, the sense of injustice, but in terms of for the fans, the drama, etc. Oh, yeah. I mean, this just enriches the narrative of the Champions League.
And a game that Barcelona dominated as well. So that should make it the second leg. Oh, it's not really a second leg, but the next game next week between Barcelona and Inter, that much more exciting. Now, Liverpool manager Jurgen Klopp praised his team for riding out recent criticism of their dip in form to register a comfortable win over Rangers last night. Jurgen Klopp said that the system against Rangers helped Trent Alexander-Arnold, who scored a superb free kick in Liverpool's win at Anfield.
Played a good game, so defensively especially, wonderful goal. How I said, we set it up differently. We cannot talk about that every week, but it's not. Trent has no defensive problem. We have had a defensive problem, hopefully had, because our timing was not right. And we take risk in defending, everybody knows that. If then the timing is not right, you open gaps. And these gaps are very often in the back of Trent. But not because of him, but because of other situations. And then he has to track back. And yes, how I said, we were not in the perfect moment, and that's why we adjusted it slightly.
Alois, not a good start for Liverpool to their league campaign. Last night, Jurgen Klopp announces a team that basically set up as a 4-2-3-1 as opposed to the 4-3-3 that we know that Liverpool plays, and it worked out with a flop.
Yeah, I think it did. You know, I watched the game. It was very exciting. You know, they also got the goals. You know, from two different
and lots of chances as
play,
well.
But yeah, but they created chances. And also Salah. Also, I think his confidence. You know, he was carrying the ball the way I remember him. You know, he was a pale shadow of himself in the Premier League at the moment. But in this game, he was actually running at the defenders. He was cutting inside and everything. So I think it worked for Liverpool. Let's hope they carry. No, I'm trying. Really hope, you know, I want to stay there, but I'm sure this win and the way they played, I think it can take them into the Premier League with confidence.
Yeah, I probably needed an evolution for something to change at Liverpool, and let's see if he maintains that setup of his team at Liverpool. It leaves the Group A looking like this: Napoli 100% record. Of course, they have been flying. 9 points they've got. Liverpool in second with 6, and then Ajax is in third with 3 points. Rangers are yet to trouble the scorers. They're yet to win. And a negative goal difference of -9. Right, let's look at tonight's fixtures. In Group E, Red Bull Salzburg takes on Dinamo Zagreb. That's currently on. Chelsea versus AC Milan later on tonight. Group F, RB Leipzig takes on Celtic. That's currently on. And Real Madrid will take on Shakhtar Donetsk. While Manchester City and Copenhagen, while Sevilla take on Borussia Dortmund. Those teams are in Group G. And Group H, Benfica versus Paris Saint-Germain. While Juventus take on a Maccabi Haifa. Now, Chelsea fans will hope that its third time is the charm as they welcome AC Milan to Stamford Bridge for tonight's Group E showdown. Let's get the pre-match thoughts of Chelsea manager Graham Potter.
Well, we're playing against a different team, a different way of playing. So, an absolute top team as well, as were Salzburg in terms of how competitive they were. So, every game is different. Every football match is different. But we're looking forward to the game. it's a massive challenge for us, an exciting challenge for us, one that the boys are really looking forward to, and we have to be really, really good to get the result we want. Important to win your home games, important to win if you can, but we're playing against a top opponent, so we have to play well. We have to create a good atmosphere for our supporters to get behind us. So that's the job. We are, as I said, we're looking forward to it.
Mike, Mr. Potter has got a bit of a job on his hands tonight because AC Milan's looking the business.
Yeah, I mean, a very good side, AC Milan. And you know what I love about Italian football is that there's been a bit of an evolution. So these are not the classical Italian sides that we know from the 90s, where, you know what, they'll set up defensively, they'll play on the counter-attack. We will talk about what Catanaccio. Mm. These teams attack and they go forward with aplomb. And one of the most exciting attacking sides right now in European football is AC Milan. Rafael Leao, I mean, he's one of the most exciting talents out there. And Chelsea are going to be, they're going to have to be on top of their game to beat AC Milan. This is a stern test for Graham Potter. He wasn't too convincing in his first game versus Crystal Palace. I thought that was a bit of a smash and grab. Crystal Palace for long periods, especially in the second half of that game, dominated the game versus Chelsea. And then up comes AC Milan. So you've still got the Chelsea fans not knowing whether they're coming or going as far as Potter is concerned. He has to win them over. This is a grand opportunity, or it's an opportunity for the pressure to start mounting on his tenure early on.
Yeah, and the sad thing is that he hasn't been given a bedding in period, has he, Chris? Because in truth, every single game has almost been a six-pointer, and tonight is no difference against an AC Milan side that's young, that's hungry, that's gelled, they've ostensibly kept their team together. So it's going to be tough.
It's going to be incredibly tough. I think one of the positives that Graham Potter can look at is there's four players that at least have been training and come back into the fold. So N'Golo Kante, Mendy, Marco Cucurella, Kani Chukwuemeka as well. So those players are back in training. Kepa's probably going to continue between the sticks, and Kante is actually just waiting approval from the medical staff in terms of whether he'll be able to participate. So at least in terms of the pieces he has access to, I think he's got a little bit more going for himself there. But in terms of pressure, I don't think at any point Graham Potter is going to see a release of pressure until Chelsea's gotten a very good run of results.
Yeah, and in truth, either you sink or you swim. You boom or bust. This is probably the best way to start
guys,
your tenure.
We got 60 seconds. Sorry, babe. It's Wacky Wednesday, so I thought I'd read this.
Okay,
so apparently the news. Former Zifa president Felton Kamambo was yesterday summoned to court in the matter he's accused of harassing businessman Philip Chiangwa. This is because it is alleged Kamambo was sending Chiangwa some annoying text messages. So here are the messages. So he says, it is the state's case that on November 19, 2019, Kamambo sent false and annoying WhatsApp message to Chiangwa, which read, "Hi, President, you're urged to stop your funny and negative interferences with football. As meanwhile, urgently start accounting for all the Zifa money you stole." The state alleges that these messages had the effect of causing annoyance and inconvenience to Chiangwa. The never-ending drama involving football.
God, yes. And Felton must return, I guess.
Right. And I mean, just guys to really said Anzi, it's funny. This is Ganzani Belson. Anzi, it's funny how the curve endowed beautiful primary school teachers have remained imprinted on our minds up to now.
Wow. Ish. That is a thinking moment right there, and a good place for us to stop. Alex is back tomorrow. Who you got on the show tomorrow?
We've got Johannes Ngozo.
Signature. Oh my goodness, one of the best to ever do it. So tune in to Alex's 30-minute interview with Johannes Ngozo tomorrow, and then we're back on Friday for the preview show of what should be a crackerjack weekend. For now, may God richly bless you. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Manande, out.
And it's Messi. The cleanest, the clean finishes from the best on the planet.
The biggest sports stories.
Chelsea, UEFA Champions League winners of 2021.
The biggest interviews.
That such a great spectacle is ruined by such thuggish behavior.
And all the analysis.
right here.
He's the one player that has the arrogance to think that he can play in any stadium in the world and any pitch in the world in front of any player in the world and take them on.
Every weekday, it's my sport, it's your sport. It's ZFM Sport on ZFM Stereo. My station, your station.
Hi, this is Mike Madhur, and you can catch me and the team for all the latest breaking news out of the world of sport, local as well as international, on your favorite station, my station, your station, ZFM. We are the team on ZFM Sport.
ZFM.